At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Continue with 2024 Softball Media Days. We hope all of you are well rested. See Out of the Box Podcast, Barry Robertson, Tom Canterbury. Tom, this is day five.
Mm-hmm.
We're just cranking, and we're going to fire up the gumbo because it's time to go down to Louisiana.
Get the low country broil rolling.
What could we eat? Well, crawfish.
Sure.
Anything seafood.
Mm-hmm.
Boudin. King cake?
There are a lot of things that I just don't tell me what it is. Just put it in front of me. I'm sure it'll be good.
That was a hardcore motto for you when we went to the Habits.
Yeah.
Homestead, whatever we want to call it. It was really like a compound.
Sure.
And yeah, there was a lot of like, yeah, I'm just going to eat that. I'm down.
I'm sure I would not want to eat it if you told me what it was. So don't tell me what it is and it'll be delicious. And it was.
Oh, and that ties into this episode.
It certainly does.
Our two teams, Tom, Louisiana and LSU, just a natural pairing.
Absolutely. I
mean, it had to be. There was one day where there were going to be two teams. And I was like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
We begin with Louisiana. The Allison Habits era begins in Lafayette. Would you like to give your thoughts on not the hire, because we've talked about that, and we'll talk about the program in just a minute, but the following of this news for you, because I know we've touched on it a little bit, but like when the Louisiana job was open because Jerry Glasgow took the Texas Tech job,
right?
There was a lot of chatter amongst us behind the scenes.
Yeah, because I remember when it happened, we were like, well, I'm sure they'll go after Allie, but wasn't sure if, you know, the situation why Allie retired from Alabama had resolved itself enough to where she would be willing to take the job. But we were like, well, if she is and they're able to get her, that would be the very best possible situation for both her and Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. So I'm very happy for her, very excited for her to get this opportunity. And I have not been more upset about missing an interview than this one was.
Yeah.
Even to the point where it just, unfortunately, timing, I had a game, I had to work that night, but it worked out to where I could jump on with everybody right before. So I got a chance to talk with Allie for a moment and was really excited about that. But I really hated I wasn't a part of this interview.
Well, which, by the way, we never do. Like, typically, it's if Tom can't be there, then we roll with it.
Right.
But this was one that you needed to be there for in some capacity. And also, like, I don't know how other people do it. When we present this, the goal is for us both to be at the interview.
Sure.
And I know that this one, it hurt you. I hated that you weren't here.
Yeah.
Because this was the one where I was like, we really got to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we couldn't to where we were both here. But I'm glad you got to see Allie for just a minute before, you know, an extended visit in March.
I know. Yes. And we'll actually talk with Patrick Murphy about this a little in the next episode. But yeah, that's going to be quite the emotional reunion and pregame ceremony for the first time Alabama plays Louisiana, because it's not just Coach Habits. It's several people with connections to Alabama that are part of that staff and team. So it's going to be it's going to be awesome in a lot of ways, but it's going to be it's going to hurt a little bit to see Coach Habits not in the first base coaching box for Alabama, but probably in the third base coaching box for the Cajuns.
And not because Murph got ejected.
Right.
Like, that's, she's been in the third base coaching box on purpose.
Right. We saw that a couple of times when Allie had to move over to the third base box. But yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be a very emotional weekend for sure when she comes back to T-Town.
We'll dive in more to the Cajuns in just a minute, but first, the pairing is with LSU here on day five. What's the next step? Like, look, Beth Tarina, I like her. I like this program. I think LSU does it the right way. And clearly, they've made strides. The recruiting classes are sick. A couple years from now, that freshman class can be one of the best in America. But they just had a group of seniors leave who never made it past Supers. And in a lot of ways, that's as baffling as anything we've seen in this conference since we've been covering it here on the Out of the Box podcast.
That was kind of like one of the main things we mentioned last year when we were talking about LSU. It was like, well, Taylor Pleasance, she can't go her entire career and not go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And it happened. And that's, they just have not been able to put all the pieces together at the right time for an extended enough amount of time.
There was a time last year where you, sir, were vouching hard for LSU to be number one in the country. And you were probably on the right side. Like, there were three or four teams being debated. LSU was the only one at the time that was undefeated.
Right. I mean, and they had big wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there was a point where they were, I think, the number one team in the nation. And, but like I said, and this has been, unfortunately, a thing for LSU dating back to even, you know, 2019 when Alabama went to Baton Rouge and swept them to win the SEC on the last weekend of the regular season, that they just have not been able, like I said, to put it all together for an extended amount of time at the right time to make it to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of the talent to be able to do so. They've put it together for some of the time. But we talked so many years, it was, when was the swoon going to happen for LSU? And that it seems to continue to happen. But sometimes, like we've talked about several times for several of these teams here in the league, that, you know, when you graduate a big class of, I know we talked about it with Georgia specifically, that has a lot of personality and they take up a lot of the oxygen, that maybe the next class is able to play a little bit more freer. And they don't have the same issues.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see that happening for LSU.
And that'll be something we cover in a bit. But first, Tom, let's go to see our friend Allie.
Yeah.
Let's go to Lafayette and play the audio. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm down.
All right. Allison Habits. This is our mystery 16th team. And by the way, I've gotten some questions. Why do we pick who we pick for the mystery 16th team? A, until Vanderbilt gets a team, this is how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And B, we like to stick with the Patrick Murphy coaching tree. And as soon as Allie got hired, we were like, done.
Well, that takes care of that.
Easy money.
Yeah.
Let's play it. Here is single tier.
Mm.
The head coach of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. The job she was born for. Allison Habits. Right now to kick off day five on the Out of the Box podcast. Welcome back to 2024 Softball Media Days, and as loyal listeners know, there are 16 teams in the conference, but only 15 softball programs, so we have to have our mystery 16th team. Last year was a mystery 14th team. This year with the expansion, our mystery 16th team is the easiest pick that we've ever had. I'm Gray Robertson. I'm here alone, but let me tell you, Tom's already popped on this Zoom because he had to say hello to the head coach of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, our dear friend, one of our favorite people in the entire world, Allison Habits. Allie, welcome back to the pod. How are you?
Wow, great. First of all, I'm so honored that I get to be the mystery team to do this interview because, wow, I'm ranking up there with the big guys. So that's, especially with you guys. I mean, y'all are like a big deal. So, but my heart is full knowing that I get to talk to you. So thank you so much, Gray. I really appreciate it.
Well, and I know you've done a lot of media since you last came on the podcast, which was for the retirement episode. And it was so much fun to hear your perspective, but a lot has changed since we recorded that pod, I guess over a year ago, really is how the timelines worked out. So how did things truly line up to where the answer was a clear yes when Louisiana called many, many times about this job.
Yeah, great. I mean, it really and truly, I mean, in all honesty, it goes back to my faith and just the fact that I always try to do what I feel like God's calling me to do. And, you know, I always say, if you want to, in my life, in my experience, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. Because I never wanted to coach. Like, that was never on my list of things to do. I was going to go be an attorney until Murph called, right? And of course I'm going to go help Murph. He was great to me in college. I'll go help him for a couple of years, but then I'm going home to go to law school. Well, 25 years later, I'm still there and I love it. Like, he gave me my career, which I never would have realized, but for Murph. And then, I mean, I'm happy doing what I'm supposed to do and I love it. And all of a sudden, you know, my dad passes away, then mom needs help. So I'm just home with her and God makes it very clear that I have to stay with her, you know? And so then the hardest thing I've ever done was to retire and have to tell, you know, University of Alabama, you know, those athletes that I was leaving. I mean, that was so difficult. And Murph, I mean, that was just my life there and my family there and all that. But to come home back home with my family and take care of mom was a blessing that I was able to do that. And so, yeah, in doing that, I was good, Tom. I mean, I was good. I missed softball, just watching it on TV and all that. Of course, I was watching Bama and went to the World Series, obviously. And, but as far as retirement, I was really good with it. I never thought I would coach again. I might've coached my nieces like in, you know, eighth grade or high school or whatever, but coaching again, I was done with that. And then head coaching, I mean, great. No, a hard no. Because look, here's the thing, Gray, and you may, I probably told you this before. Never once in my 25 years did I wake up and say, man, I need to be the head coach. Like, Murph doesn't know what he's doing. I need to be the head coach. Like, never. You know, I just never had that desire. I love the players. That's why I coach. So, Murph, you can do all that other stuff. I'm good with just the players and helping them develop and just, and I don't have to be in control. That's not my personality. I love just, again, being with athletes in college where they grow so much, they're away from home for the first time. So that became my passion, you know, helping develop them. So yeah, the whole head coaching thing, a whole new ball game. So yeah, never what I wanted to do. And then, you know, I'm in retirement. I'm taking care of mom. I'm, you know, doing all the things that you're supposed to do, you know, taking care of your parent and all that. And then Jerry Glasgow decides to leave. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's happened before, that UL's lost their coach. And so I'm trying to think of who would be a good replacement for Jerry. And, you know, as I'm thinking, I get a lot of text messages, obviously because I'm home, Gray, right? People are going to call me because I'm home. But again, I retired to take care of my mom. So it was a hard no. Like, to every text I responded, nope, I'm taking care of my mom. No, I'm taking care of my mom. No, I'm never even considered it, Gray, in all honesty, never even considered it. So I was actually in Baton Rouge getting my hair done because I was in retirement. I can just go do speaking engagements. So I was going to North Dakota to do a speaking engagement. I was supposed to be there that Monday. So this is on a Thursday. So that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was preparing my speeches for, you know, North Dakota when all this kind of happened. So I'm like, no, the timing is bad, all that. But anyway, I'm staying home to take care of mom. You know, again, I'm just trying to think of who would be a good replacement. And then I'm on my way home. And I don't know if you know the Atchafalaya Bridge, right? You've driven on that, right? Between Baton Rouge and Crowley. We go to the crawfish boil, you know that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm driving on that. I'm on my way home. And I don't know. I just kind of looked up and said, all right, Jesus, I know that I usually make you a part of the big decisions I make in life. But it's a hard no, right? I mean, you just told me to retire. So we're good. And great. This feeling that I got in my gut was just the most unsettling feeling that I've ever had. And I kind of looked up. I'm like, oh, no. We're not doing this. I just retired. We talked about this. I'm taking care of mom. You know, like, I don't need to be a head coach. You know that. Like, I'm just having this conversation with Jesus out loud in my car. Like, Lord, don't do this like U-turn on me, because I'm not ready for that, you know? And it continued to be unsettling. So I literally went straight to Crowley. I went to Adoration and I'm in the chapel. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need a hard no. I need a no, because I don't want to do this. It's not what I want to do. I mean, I'm good retiring, take care of mom. I had my career at Alabama. It was great. Like, I don't need this, nor do I have a desire to do this. not my thing. And he would not, I mean, all I kept, like, in prayer, he kept bringing, like, assistance to mind. Like, he just, like, the whole plan, all of it, you know? And I'm just like, I can't believe this. This is, so I call my sister. I'm like, hey, Monty, I'm not doing this, right? And she says, well, no, you just said yesterday, like, you were glad you were out at this time because the NIL thing, I mean, people are crazy. Like, I said, like, I'm glad I'm out of this because it's changing so dramatically. And she's like, well, yeah, you're not doing that. I said, okay. I said, I'm just making sure, you know? And then again, the main thing was mom. I said, hey, what if this is actually good for mom? Like, what if she can come to games? What if it gives her something to look forward to? Because when I played Gray here at UL, Yvette Girard was the head coach, and Mama G, that was her mom. She was a part of our program. She was awesome. Like, I loved her. She was just, it was awesome. So just the thought of my mom being able to be a part of something and it actually helping her, like getting motivated to go out more and to go to games. And Monica says, well, I've never thought of that. And I said, me either. And I just hung up the phone. I'm like, what am I saying? Like, I, you know, just all these thoughts came to my mind and I'd never thought of it that way, you know? So I go home, talk to mom. She's like, well, baby, do whatever you want to do. I said, well, mom, I want to make you happy. Like, I retired to take care of you. That's it. So, you know, you have to tell me if you think this is a good thing. She just kept saying, you know, it's up to you. So I just went to prayer with it. And look, I was just, then a friend, it's like people kept calling me. One friend called and said, hey, when I was coaching, it was actually a friend of mine, Brooks Williams, who coached at Alabama, was assistant coach, a good friend of mine. She, you know, she said, when I was a head coach at McNeese, it was awesome. It was my people. And she said, my mom tells me to this day that it extended my grandmother's life because it gave her something to look forward to. I'm like, oh gosh, you know? So again, every sign pointed to the fact that I have to do this. And after I said yes, which again was difficult to do, there was an overwhelming peace about it. Like, I knew it was what he wanted me to do. And it wasn't what I wanted to do initially at all, but I knew it was what he wanted me to do. Like, and I've, again, that's how I've tried to live my life, because he's always blessed me in doing that in ways that I could never imagine. Because if I'd have done what I wanted to do, I don't know if I'd be an attorney right now, but I probably wouldn't love my life too much, you know? So yeah, I just kind of took a leap of faith and trusted him and said, okay, I'm going to do this, even though being a head coach is not, because I always felt like my gifts were with the players, right? Like the motivation, all that, like all the decision-making, all that, not really my thing. Like, again, I don't need to do that. It's not necessarily where I feel like my gifts are. But again, the Lord just kept revealing, like, hey, I'll make up where you lack, but you have gifts here and you have to trust me. So I've just put a lot of trust in him, Gray, a lot of trust. And it really has been wonderful. I can't say that, I guess, because every day I feel like I'm trying to catch up, because most head coaches, they have a plan going into being a head coach, right, Gray? Like, you have a plan, you know what you want to do, you have a philosophy, all that. None of it. This, like, blindsided me. So I feel like I'm constantly trying to catch up, I guess. But it's a beautiful ride. And I have amazing people with me, amazing kids that I get to coach. And so every day is an adventure, though, without a doubt, but I love it. I do. And I think I'll love it more once I can kind of put both nose holes above the water. I think I might be able to breathe a little better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've talked a couple times about how at Alabama, you kind of let Murph do all the head coachy stuff, and you left at a very complex time in college sports. And now you're jumping back in at perhaps somehow an even more complex time in college sports. So what truly has that learning curve been like as you've tried to catch up and understand how to attack the portal, how NIL works, how all of that comes together as someone who now leads a program?
Yeah, it's, I mean, every day I'm learning. You know, I was talking to one head coach and he's like, well, now you can implement your philosophy, you know, your philosophy and your, you know, and I was like, yeah, I don't even know what that is yet. I'm still trying to figure that out, you know? So it's figuring out as I go. And even with our staff, right? To, you know, Murph did a great job of leading our staff and having, you know, expectations for our staff. Like, I've never done that. You know, I've done it with the team in the sense of, so like, even with our staff trying to figure out, okay, where are their gifts, you know, and how can I help them be better coaches? So again, every day, I'm certainly not there, not even close to being there, but I'm learning every day to try to to try to, you know, just be a good mentor and just help people around me grow. And Murph always said, you surround yourself with great people, great things going to happen. So I'm just trying to surround myself with great people. And everything I do, I feel like Murph's in the back of my head, you know, like, well, Murph did it this way, Murph did it this way. I mean, his fingerprints are all over this. So I was blessed to learn from one of the best, without a doubt.
Well, you talk about surrounding yourself with people. And I got to say, like, as soon as we knew this was official, I think in one of the group chats where me, Tom, and Nate were talking, we're like, so Lacey's going to go to Louisiana, right? And you picked up Lacey. You got Shelley Landry and Shelby Sinceri as well for your coaching staff and have added, I'm sure, a bunch of other pieces behind the scenes on the support staff. But specifically with those three, kind of walk us through the mindset of, all right, here's why I want you and here's what they bring to the program.
Yeah, well, Shelley Landry first. When I first, you know, the AD, you know, Dr. Maggart was talking to me and the associate AD, and they just raved about Shelley. And I knew Shelley. I knew she was a great player here, an All-American here, but I didn't know what her work ethic was like and just the great human being that she is. But they encouraged me to keep her on staff. So I trusted their analysis of her and just what I knew about her. So I said, sure, you know, she can stay on staff because obviously she knows the program. She kind of, you know, is a go-between and all that. But, you know, I've realized that she's the glue that's kept this program alive for many years, actually, even with Lotief, because she played for Lotief and then coached with him in that transition time between him and Jerry Glasgow. So, yeah, Shelley Landry has been through a lot with this program, but she's a diehard. Like, she bleeds like Cajun through and through. Her mother played volleyball here. Her sister played softball and her other sister was a manager here. So she is like 100% Cajun, but just a work ethic, man. And just, she's amazing. She really is. She just gets everything done before I even know that I need it done. She's taking care of it. So, I mean, just, she's a blessing that I didn't even know really and truly, everything that I was getting when I got her. So she brings everything to the table and she's the hitting coach and knows hitting. I mean, she was a great hitter here, just communicates well with the kids and they obviously have a lot of respect for her just from everything she's done in this program. Lacey, yes, obvious choice. I was so glad that she decided to come from being a head coach, which I love that she had head coaching experience, which I knew brought a lot, you know, to her perspective, you know, even though it was 1 year, I think she grew a lot and learned a lot. But mostly also because she was at Alabama, you know, I really wanted someone with Alabama ties to know. I mean, she was part of our first World Series team. So to kind of know, you know, what it takes to get there. And in my perspective, in the sense of as a coach, you know, there are certain things that we did to go to the World Series. And Lacey was a part of one of those teams. So to know that and be a part of that and know the Alabama way, I wanted someone to do that. And Lacey was the obvious choice because she's a Cajun as well, you know. Now, Shelby Sinceri, I mean, LSU.
Did you add, so I was just looking at this board right behind me, and I know people listening, they're not watching this, but I've got the board from the 2019 SEC regular season championship that was clinched when Alabama swept at LSU, and Shelby Sinceri is right on the LSU side, and Allison Habits' signature is right below it. So has that come up at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, I talk about LSU, obviously. I mean, it's really a compliment to her because really the last time I saw Shelby compete was we're at LSU, Montana's pitching and Shelby's the starting pitcher and the three hole hitter. She comes up, Montana goes high and tight. She swings and the foul ball hits her right. I mean, right in the nose. I mean, just drills her. There's blood everywhere on the field, all that. And then she's out, right? We don't see her again. The next day I'm thinking, you know, that's her senior year. Like she's done. She has a mask on and wants the ball. I'm like, who is this kid? Like, just tough. I remember thinking she was tough as nails, right? Just a competitor. But no, we don't talk too much about that series, I will say, because Shelby's from Texas. She's not a Louisiana girl, which helps because sometimes LSU ties in Louisiana can you know, and the Alabama thing can be a little crazy. But she's not that deeply rooted in that regard, even though her favorite color is purple. But anyway, so, you know, Shelly coached with her at McNeese. So Shelly kept saying, hey, Shelby Sinceri. I'm like, Shelly, she went to LSU. Like, I can't do that. I just, you know, I can't do that. Right. I'm thinking, the people at Alabama are gonna like, what are you doing, you know? So I said, okay, I'll give her an interview. So sat down with her in the interview, and I had heard some stuff at McNeese about her, how good she was. Like in her 2 years, I mean, she did some incredible things with the pitchers. I mean, the last pitcher they had was really a shortstop that she turned into an All-American. So she's done some amazing things. And obviously she had Beth, you know, as Beth Zarina as her pitching coach. So I know that she has great resources and comes from really good pitching coaching. But sitting down with her,
really and truly, we didn't even talk X's and O's of softball. She was all about communicating with the players, and like she had this sheet with all the questions of like how to get to know the athlete and how to get to know how to motivate her, how to get to know like what makes her tick, like to get to know people first before the athlete. And so, and then, you know, I knew that her walk-up song was a Christian song. So she started talking about Jesus and her love for Christ and all that. So I'm like, you know what? I knew right away, like the things she was about, the things that she was about, I was about. The pitching stuff, if she didn't know it, I knew she could find out, right? So that was just extra. But she was all about people and person over athlete, which is obviously the most important thing. So yeah, definitely she came out of the blue. Like I wouldn't have been somebody that I would have initially gone after, but it has been a pleasant surprise because she's done some amazing things already with our pitchers. So I'm really pleased and glad to have her on staff for sure.
I love that. Hey, let's go ahead and dive into the pitchers as we kind of look at the roster configuration for 2025. Our guest is Louisiana head coach Allison Habits, which is still weird to say, but we're so happy for you. Allie, this is not a pitching staff with a ton of returning innings from last year. You've brought in some newcomers, some transfers. There are some youngsters on this staff. I know you probably remember Lexi Delbray from the Florida days.
Yes.
Before she went to Louisiana. But how has this bullpen gelled? How has Shelby gotten everybody kind of accustomed to what it's like or what it's going to be like with you at the helm?
Yeah, when I first got here, like we had one returner really, because Lexi had been hurt. Lexi Delbry had been hurt last year and then ended up having surgery. So, you know, she wasn't really a kid that I really considered that much in the mix because I knew that she was injured. So it was basically Sam Ryan who hadn't, and she was a senior and who really hadn't gotten a lot of innings. So I'm like, okay, we got to get on the portal and get some arms. So we ended up bringing in a junior college kid by the name of Bethany Noble. She went to Seminole Junior College. And then another junior who's a transfer from Texas Tech, who I think is going to do a really nice job, Sage Hoover. She started out at Northwestern, actually, and then transferred to Texas Tech.
I will again mention another connection. I do believe we faced her at the Mardi Gras Mambo Mambo back in 2022.
Really?
She's on a board somewhere in this apartment.
Oh, I have to go back and look at that. I did not. Of course, you wouldn't know that, Gray. I did not know that.
So you can ask her if she also thought that was the coldest weekend of all time.
Yes. Oh, it definitely was the coldest weekend of all time ever, especially in Louisiana, for sure. But no, I was excited to get her. Jerry kind of let her go and she got on the portal and I called her right away. I think she has a lot of upside and I think her and, you know, Coach Shelby's going to really do a lot of good stuff with her. And then Tyra Clary is a kid out of Nevada who's a fifth year senior, who just has a lot of maturity, has some experience, and just a leader, a great person, like a mom personality, just loves her teammates and wants to win, a competitor. I mean, I know that this is all a God thing because he helped me a lot with the portal because we were really blessed to get some really good athletes and good people, which, you know, oftentimes when you get, you know, you don't know what you're getting. I mean, I had about 3 weeks to get to fill up my whole roster, you know? So, again, I ended up getting some pretty good athletes, but mostly some good people who are competitors. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. But I'm pleased with the pitching staff and how Shelby's worked with them and how they've grown as pitchers, like exponentially just in the fall.
You've also got some key offensive returners coming back from a team that hosted a regional last year. Maddie Hayden, Lanny Crater, Sam Rowe, a bunch of others on the roster. How did you kind of ingratiate yourself with them and how impressed have you been by what you've seen from them as the fall has gone on and they've adjusted to this new regime.
Yeah, it's been an interesting kind of, I guess segue into it. They were used to things a certain way, right? And I come from, I only know one way of coaching, right? And that's with Murph and the way we do things. And it was probably a little bit different for them, especially, you know, we have a team retreat. They'd never done a team retreat. So they're like, oh, we've got to get, you know, so like getting to know each other, you know, is very important. So they're like, oh, okay, that's good. But they kind of looked at me a little strangely in the beginning, like a team retreat. What's that, you know? So that's actually been fun. Like just growing the chemistry and getting them together, like, and to know that like team is the chemistry is the most important piece. Because I mean, you know, Gray, when I was there, I went to the World Series, 14 times. How many times did we deserve to be there talent wise? I don't know. It's not 14 though, right? Because I think our most talented team really didn't even make it to Super Regionals. So I've learned without a doubt from Murph and from the experience that I had at Alabama, that team chemistry, you know, having a group of young ladies and athletes who are competitors and will fight for each other. Let me tell you, like that can go a long way. I mean, it's incredible. And it's fun to coach too. So building that piece has been fun here. And then another piece was in the first practice. You're going to love this, right? In the first practice, first team practice, they're on the circle. And I said, hey, just FYI, everyone in the circle will know how to bunt. And they all looked at me like, what?
Bunt? Even so, me? What?
Me? Bunt? What? So that's all we did. Like bunt, slap and run, slaps. And they were just like, they looked at me like I had two heads. They were like, okay, what? This coach is crazy. Okay. But they started to buy in after like we scrimmaged a little bit and they realized you put the ball in play, you make things happen, right? It speeds up the game. It creates chaos for the defense, all that kind of stuff. So they started to buy in. Even our bigger hitters were like, oh, they play in baseball defense? Coach, I can bunt here. I was like, yes, you can bunt. That's awesome, you know? So one of the guys who's, you know, we have fans that come to practice, you know, like they do at Alabama. And one guy's been coming since Lotif has been here. So many, many years. And wow. He came up to me after. He says, Coach, I just want you to know I've been here for, I think it's been close to 20 years, maybe over 20 years. And he said, this is the first time I've ever seen a UL team practice bunting. And I was like, wow, really? He said, yeah. He said, I kind of like it. I said, well, there's going to be a lot of that. I'm just saying, like, we're going to make things happen. We're not just going to, I love 3-1 home runs. Don't get me wrong, but we have to create some chaos too. So
well, I was about to say that probably never even entered in your mind as you were making the practice plan. Like, yeah, we're going to work on bunting today. Of course. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Absolutely. But I knew they weren't like, I knew that they weren't, I guess, familiar with that so much at Alabama. Yeah. But here I don't think that was part of their practice plan. Let's put it that way.
Well, look, we talked about this before we came on. When we get the TV schedule, the plus games, there are certain weekends that Kaylee Tao and I really look forward to. There are certain weekends that I know Tom looks forward to. There are weekends where we are excited that we both get to tell the story of a game, a tournament. And one of those is the spring fling. I know Murph has teased this on the pod, so I'm not breaking any news. But you are coming to Tuscaloosa with Louisiana in early March. I've already put in the request. I'm like, if this isn't me and Tao, I'm quitting. What emotions do you think you're going to feel? Because you've done this part where coaches have come back and you've given the flowers out to them at home plate and you've done the announcements and been a part of the welcome back. How's it going to feel being the recipient of that this time?
Man, Gray, just listening to you talk about that. Wow. I don't know. I don't know if I can put words to that, you know? It'll be, I guess, similar to like anytime I could share my family with my Alabama family, like when, you know, when they come to the house and we do a crawfish boil or any of that, you know, like it was always special to me, you know? So now to actually be a head coach, which again, I never planned, and to bring like our team, you know, the Louisiana team, it's Alabama, because even Alabama, like when I speak of Alabama, I still say we, and it's just, again, I've done it for 25 years. So, and even out here, I'm like, let's go, Bama. Or it's just easy to say, like, it just comes out, you know? so it'll be special. Let's put it that way. There's really no words though to kind of, I guess, sum that up. Overwhelmed with gratitude and really special. Just to be back and be with people that were my family for most of my life, you know. Those fans and obviously Murph and Broby and, you know, kids I coach, like Ryan and Jaden and Lance and just all of it, the atmosphere, and just to have now my team share in that will be really special.
Well, I already warned our producer a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know, if this does happen, if it's me and Tal and we do a coach call with Allison Habits, we're not going to get anything done for 45 minutes. We're going to just sit there and catch up for half an hour and then be like, oh, right, softball. How's the team?
All right. Exactly. Hey, just know you're going to get some boudin, some crackling, like, we're going to get all kind of good Cajun food up there for you. Don't worry. Oh,
and okay, we're going to eat it on the air. Boom, done. Allison Habits joins us here on the Out of the Box podcast. Allie, this is the last Louisiana-specific question I've got, and then we'll dive into a couple bigger softball questions. But what do you want the identity of the Raging Cajuns program to be under you, under head coach Allison Habits?
Well, I want us to be, besides the off-the-field stuff, like the classy and having attitude of gratitude, and I want us to be resilient competitors who play the game fast. You know, like, doesn't matter what the score is, we're always going to be one way. And we're kind of like that. You know what I love about coaching? I guess being a head coach, and it is different in the sense that I feel like I'm distracted by a lot of things that I can't focus on the players as much as I want to yet. But man, they work great. Like, we have some blue collar kids. Like, they are blue collar. They're on their own. I always see them in the cage. Like, they're workhorses. So I love that they work. So they're gritty. Like, I just want our identity to be, doesn't matter what the score is, we're going to fight, scratch, claw, be gritty, and be resilient competitors who play the game fast and never out of a game, you know? So hopefully that'll be our identity.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, now prepare yourself. You're about to get the questions that we ask everybody, Merv, Tim Walton, the whole gang. So this is your time, Allie. We start with this. If you were selected as president of the NCAA, let's say the votes are cast and Allison Habits is now leading the charge, what are you doing on day one?
President of the NCAA, you said?
NCAA.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how to reel it back in, but the NIL thing, it's name, image, and likeness. It's not paying players to come to your university. So I'm just going to rewind. If I can, I'm just going to rewind time and go back and get rid of all of it. And you know what? I'm getting rid of the portal.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I'm going to make it more difficult. Yep.
I think that's fair. And we've gotten responses like that from a lot of coaches. So let me tell you, Allie, you're not alone. Yeah. Tom's also got a question that he is asking everybody, and I will make sure that I read it word for word so as not to misquote him. We've heard Nick Saban, who you know quite well, discuss the differences between being a transformational and transactional coach. He talked about that on College Game Day a few weeks ago. What are your thoughts on the difference between those things, and how do you balance that as a head coach now at a place like Louisiana, where they've had so much success and there's been so much winning over the last however many decades?
Yeah, well, I've been blessed to come from a program for 25 years where transformational coach was the only way to coach. You know, it was never transactional. And we were fortunate enough to win. So maybe I'm spoiled, you know, but I guess experiencing that has helped me to learn, or I truly believe that if you do the right things and you care about players before they're athletes, if you care about the person first and you take care of them, and you try to transform their lives and help them grow as people, the softball stuff will take care of itself. We're going to work hard. We're going to do all the softball stuff, but you know, some of these athletes, they're here for a year or 2 years at the most, four, maybe five, but mostly four. The rest of their life that's the rest of your life. I want to help them be better people. I want to help them be, you know, a great wife, a great mother, a great employee, a great owner of a business. I want to help them achieve everything they want in life. The softball stuff is going to be just the icing on the cake. And yes, I love winning. And yes, I'm a competitor and I want to win. But again, I guess maybe I was spoiled with Alabama. We were able to do that and we had success. So that's the only way I know how to coach. And that I can sleep with at night. The transactional, that's not me. And some people do that and they win and I'm not judging them. But that's my why as to why I coach is the players. Like I love developing them and helping them achieve things they never thought they could. Like, I love that. And motivating their greatness out of them, you know, and for the rest of their lives and helping them realize how to grow and how to fight through adversity. That's why I'm getting rid of the portal, because when it gets hard, they want to get on the portal. When, instead of like fighting through the hard and getting to the other side of it and say, yes, I did that. Like, we're just stripping them of all those things that they're going to need in life, those tools to fight through adversity so that they can be great leaders and great people. I know it's a long-winded answer to a simple question, but the only coach I know how to be is a transformational coach. The other way, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
That is exactly what I thought you would say, honestly, knowing you as well as I feel like I do after knowing you all these years. And you also, I know, have a very extensive history of playing. You played baseball, you played softball, you did a little bit of everything. But this question is kind of, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't told any of the other coaches this. It was recommended by Ryan Iamuri. So if you could go back in time and you could be a stud at any position other than the main ones that you played, what position would you pick?
Who, a stud at any position?
Any position.
Man. Oh, that is so hard. But I'd be a catcher.
I think that's what Ryan said, if I remember really right. Catcher's been a popular answer.
Really? I would think that nobody would guess that about me, but I love just being behind the plate, like making, and again, it's not, I think catchers are the unsung heroes because they have to make the pitchers great, like not needing any of the pat on the back, but just making the pitcher great and figuring out how to motivate the pitcher. And just being like just a BA behind the plate. Like I love good catchers, man. I'll just love it. And I'd be able to hit too, though. Like I'd be a hitting catcher.
Oh yeah.
But I wouldn't just be that hitter that they just put behind the plate. Like I love great catchers. So I'd make that pitcher look like an All-American, even though maybe she wasn't, but I'd make her look like an All-American for sure.
I love that. All right. Two more fun questions and then we'll let you go. Allison Habits joins us on the Out of the Box podcast. Allie, if you could have any singer alive or dead sing the national anthem at your first Louisiana game at home, who would you pick?
Garth Brooks, without a doubt.
Great answer.
Oh, yeah. I've been to several of his concerts, and he's on my bucket list. That's one singer I want to meet because of his humility and attitude of gratitude. At every concert I've been to, his humility and attitude of gratitude, he exudes that. And I love that about him. That's why I want to meet him. But, yeah, it would definitely be Garth Brooks.
I love that. All right, last question. And it's a little bit of a cheat because I feel like I know the answer somewhat because we spent so many game days together. But what are your pregame rituals or traditions that you like to do before a game? And will you add any now that you're a head coach?
Like right before the game?
You know, day of, breakfast, lunch, something like that.
Okay. Well, whoo, yeah. Well, actually video, you know, is a big part of that. Like just being prepared, getting good scouting report. Then coming to the field, and I always like to like walk around the field or get like outside by myself where I can have my Jesus time, and talk to him about the game plan and ask him to help me be aware of how he wants to use me and to give me wisdom to make all the right decisions to help our team have success. And then after that, just, it's really about every athlete. Like I want to make sure that I say their name and I actually physically touch them to make sure they're good. And after that, we're good.
I love it.
I've only written the starting lineup a few times here for these fall games, but that'll be different.
Is it weird like sitting like you've been a part of the meetings, you've seen Murph go off on the end of the bench. Is it weird now that you're the one doing that?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I'm like, okay, can somebody else do this stuff? Cause I need to go out with the players, you know, like the world. Yes. It's really weird. Every time I see head coach and I have to sign my name, I like, wait, that's me right there. I have to sign right underneath head coach, you know? it's still surreal for me. Yeah, right in the starting lineup was a little weird, but it was different in the fall because you could kind of substitute here and there like you wanted. But yeah, in season is going to be, it'll be a lot different. That piece will be a lot different for sure.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I tell you what, I speak for Tom. I speak for everybody who's here right now in Tuscaloosa, including some of the folks that I'm going to be seeing in just a little bit. Sherry, Jenny, the whole gang. We love you. There was no better choice for the Mystery 16th team than Louisiana, and no better interview to have on this podcast than Allison Habits. Allie, thank you so much for coming on. I cannot tell you what a party it will be when you and the Cajuns roll up to T-Town in March. It's going to be a blast, and best of luck this year.
Thank you so much, Gray. I love you, buddy. Give everyone in T-Town my love, too, man. I always say, go Tide, G-A-U-X. Go
Tide. We'll work on something for March.
Our roll Cajuns, right?
That's great. Thanks, Allie.
All right, Gray. Take care.
Welcome back. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Cajuns. Thank you, everyone. I mean, God, I teared up. She wept. Just what a time. And yeah, like that March weekend is going to be really emotional. And I'm hoping that, not that I want to leave you abandoned, but I hope that we both get a chance to kind of tell the story our way. You on radio, me on TV that weekend, just because that's going to be so freaking special. And I know I've thought in my head how that show is going to go and how I want to spend the time I might get with Allie that weekend. And I'm sure you have as well. And it's just going to be such a special time.
It's going to be very, very special. And then they're going to have to play softball.
That's
right. We'll see what happens. And she's got a good team to come in. That's not going to be an easy weekend for Alabama. That's for sure.
Yeah. And look, Allie and I, like, we've all discussed the new era. And I thought Allie's response on what she would do as president of the NCAA, talking about NIL and all that stuff and the transfer portal. And I understand the key there, but this is an important year for Allie to really set the foundation. They lost a lot of people.
Yeah.
They've got a good roster. They've got good pitchers. You could hear the confidence when talking about this pitching staff and these youngsters who can get better. But this is an important year to kind of prove that even without Jerry, even with all the people who left, that Louisiana is still the class of the Sun Belt, because this league has gotten better, but they still haven't been able to eclipse Louisiana.
Right.
And this year is important to make sure for the Cajuns that does not change.
In the conference, Louisiana was kind of able to fend off some of the best pitchers the Sun Belt has ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, coming through Texas State and coming through Alabama.
How many times was Texas State in a perfect spot to catch up? And then the Cajuns would just hit Mullins.
Yeah.
And sweep. And that was it.
Right. South Alabama had that opportunity with Lackey. There has been some really great softball played in the Sun Belt, but when it all comes down to it, the class of the league is still Louisiana. And now that those pitchers have moved on, Louisiana's in a great spot to be able to hold on to that, even in a year of somewhat transition.
Yeah, and we hope they do, because I'm pulling for her. I'm pulling for the Cajuns, except when they play Alabama. But yeah, like, let's go. And I think the talent's there to stay there. Mm-hmm. But nowadays in softball, you should be given a little bit of time, but you're really not, just because of the nature of the beast at this point. And so it's going to be important to truly dive in and make a statement early.
Yeah. Now within the life and times of NIL and the transfer portal, and, you know, if a new coach comes in, especially a situation like this one, it's not like the previous coach got fired. The previous coach left for another job. So it's not like, you know, that Louisiana was on this big downward spiral and she's coming in there to stop that and rebuild. She has a good foundation already, but, you know, she's got to maintain that and upgrade moving forward.
She's also got to deal with a team in state that when they play, the games get a little contentious.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know how Allison Habits feels about a certain Tiger team from Baton Rouge.
Yes, yes.
And it's just a perfect segue to LSU.
Let's talk about the Tigers.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back. This is called a commercial, and that was called a tease. And this
professional
is me sending us to break. We'll be right back.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Day five continues and concludes with LSU. The new format, I think we crushed it because it allows more time for these teams to breathe a little bit. Mm-hmm. And boy, do we need to talk about LSU, because this is a team that's got to replace a great senior class, but they also have probably another pitcher kind of similar to day four when we were talking about Emily Kennedy, who's at least in the conversation for that top five in the league spot in Sydney Brezon.
Yeah, I mean, she has shown in spots to where she is one of, if not the best pitcher in the league. And I mean, when, as we talked about before, during that spot last year, during that stretch of time, when I think LSU was the number one team in the country, a lot of it was because Sydney Brezon was unhittable for a stretch in the season.
Yeah. And now they have to figure out what's going on behind her. But you got some hitters back. Danica Coffey is back. Like, this is an LSU team that maybe the lack of expectations, maybe the freeing up, you know, similar to the senior thing you were talking about, but maybe for the outside world, the fact that everybody's going to kind of maybe, for lack of a better term, discount LSU, maybe it helps.
Yeah, I mean, you can play that underdog role if you're Beth Tarina, for sure. Of course, at this point, when we talked to him during media days, and everyone really likes their team and likes how things are coming together, I don't know if we talked to a coach who was more excited for her team,
yeah,
and for especially for the newcomers than Coach Tarina here.
Let's play it.
All right.
I want the people to hear it.
Yes.
Hear it from her. It's the head coach of LSU, Beth Tarina, our final coach for day five, right here, right now. We continue with 2024 softball media days here on the Out of Box Podcast. Gray Robertson and Tom Canterbury. And Tom, we got a really fun road trip schedule this year, don't we?
I've never not had a good time in Baton Rouge. So
well,
I'm very excited.
Look, we can continue to have a good time in Baton Rouge when Alabama travels to LSU this year, and we get to see the head coach of the Tigers, Beth Tarina, who joins us now here on the pod. Hi, Coach. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you guys. Ready for this year to get going?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to talk about this year, but first, we got to look back a little bit. When you think back to 2024 and the journey that your team went on, that great run to Super Regionals in Palo Alto, what are your main takeaways from how the season played out?
It was bittersweet. I think it was awesome to see where our team ended and like to compete so well against such a quality pitcher and program at Stanford. But then to have the graduation list that we filled out at the end of the year, just to see some mainstays that have been a part of this program for so long. It's hard for me to remember a day without Taylor Pleasance at shortstop or, you know, Sierra Briggs in center field, or the others that graduated were just so incredible for this program. So it was bittersweet, but I was really proud of all that they were able to accomplish in their time here.
What is the legacy of that senior class at LSU?
They just had a different way of upholding the standard. The standard was just so easy for them. It was almost like they created it. And I don't think they did. There's been many before them, right? But it was just so easy for them to set the bar every day. Like, they were such incredible human beings, and take softball out of it. And they just made the right choices and did the right things all the time. So the standard was the standard. And it was truly, we call it Tigers for Life. It really was like how they live their life, not just how they came out here, you know, 20 hours a week. It was like how they live their life. And I'm confident they'll continue to do that. We still have three of them around the building every day, which is awesome. Taylor and Sierra are both GAs on the field. And then Raylene is helping us out. Gutierrez is helping us out in the office. So I didn't have to have a complete heartbreak with all seven of them gone. I get a little bit of a grace period here with them. So I'm really enjoying having them in a different capacity up here as well.
Well, and you've also got another upperclassman who's back, Danica Coffey, after dealing with that injury last year. How has she progressed through this offseason to get ready for 2025?
Do you see me taking like a big sigh of relief when you say her name? Because when I think about this season, like knowing that we have her kind of holding the reins with this group and leading us, it just feels so much better. I mean, I think any coach would say if they could write Danica Coffey's name in the lineup, everything would feel better. She's just such a special player. She's like everybody's just fan favorite. She's like the kid that you find on the sandlot that just like loves to play softball, you know? So fun seeing her back and just what she's going to accomplish. She was on such a tear when, you know, this thing happened. So, will be nice to get her back in the lineup and see her with the pieces we've added around her and what that looks like moving forward.
What are some of the other returners that you've seen make good strides here in the offseason heading to 2025?
Well, I think we have the best catcher around in Macy Bergeron. I mean, she is just incredible talent. I mean, don't try to run on her. Just don't go because you're out. She has, they call her the Cajun Cannon now. This is really starting to pick up. So, and I think I like it. But
hold on, let me make note. Cajun Cannon. She already has the best pronunciation last name.
She's going to kill me. She's going to kill me for this. But she has just had a really good fall and just feels like an upperclassman now for the first time. You know, like she just controls the field and just does such a great job of just managing our pitching staff, managing our team. Like she's done an awesome job in this offseason and this fall. And I'm excited to see what's in front of her.
I remember the first time we saw her, I said, I know this will surprise you. She's from Louisiana.
She is definitely from Louisiana. We're really proud of that. We're proud of her and we're proud of that. And we're proud to have a player like that from our state with that kind of talent.
I love that. You also add a couple positional players from the portal in Avery Hodge and Jayla Lassiter, who are extremely versatile. Jayla Lassiter, you can stick her really anywhere you want on the field. Avery Hodge, so good with Oklahoma in the World Series this season. How did those two kind of fill in the spots that might be vacated by some of the upperclassmen who just graduated?
Yeah, they're so special. I mean, we felt so good about the class that we were able to bring in out of the transfer portal with, you know, add Ashley Vallejo to the group too. And the three of them, just incredible players, instant difference makers. Feels like they've been here forever. Everybody asked me like, life without Taylor Pleasance, like it's going to look different, but it's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. Avery Hodge is incredible. And I just think she's going to do such special things for us. And, you know, everyone's like, what's going to happen at shortstop? I'm going to write Avery Hodge's name in at shortstop 56 times. I mean, she's an incredible player. So we're lucky to have her. And then Jayla Lassiter, she was so tough on us for the last 2 years. My goodness, I think she single-handedly beat us. So I had a little bit of a moment, so like PTSD, when I had to call pitches in the scrimmage against her still. I was like, my gosh, we can't get this kid out. Like, at least she's going to be wearing purple and gold this year. That's how that one felt. She was like still taking up the real estate in my brain, like from how bad she beat us in the past. So it was really cool to have her on our side.
I love that. Is that something that when you see a kid's name pop up in the portal that I know that, like you said, there's a little bit of PTSD there, but that makes you want to contact them because, well, shoot, if they did that to us, why can't they do that for us?
If I wasn't her first call, then shame on me, because we loved her. We wanted her here. We wanted her to be with us. We knew how special she was, and we're excited about what's in front of her here. She's already, in my opinion, proven in the SEC. You know, she's done so many cool things, and she's really a special athlete. She just runs so well, but can hit for so much power. I'd say that's kind of the theme of our entire lineup this year. Well, I think it's going to look a little different, but I think it's going to be exciting.
I also have to ask about a young lady who redshirted last year, Tori Edwards. And I remember calling the Alliance All-Star game a few seasons ago, and she hit a home run that could potentially still be in orbit. And obviously not a ton of action for her last year, but how has she seen this offseason growth-wise as she gets ready for presumably an expanded role on the team this year?
Well, you should ask about her. That's the one you should be asking about. She is something different. She is really special. She's just an incredible talent. So I think she has grown so much. Like, it was horrible losing her last year, but in hindsight, probably the growth that she had is going to lead to an incredible four-year career. I mean, we're at the point that our infielders want to stand in the grass when she comes up to bat. The sad part is she can run too, so she could take advantage of that in a lot of different ways, but she's really special, and I would be shocked if you didn't see her in the middle of our lineup every single game this year.
You have a mix of youth and experience in the circle. You have Sydney Brezon back for her third year. What have you seen from Brezon, and then tell us about the rest of the staff?
Yeah, Sydney is Sydney, right? She's the best of the best. I mean, I'd put her up against anybody in the country. What she's capable of doing with a softball, just if you actually put her in some of these numbers that the people are doing nowadays, right? Some of these Rapsodo spin rate, spin efficiency, she's mind blowing what she's capable of doing. So I expect her to have another great year. And then we've added some cool pieces, Ashley Vallejo, Jaden Huebner, the first lefty. There's been one other lefty in school history that threw about 30 innings in year one. And ever since that year, 1997, when there has not been a left-hander at LSU. So Wow. It's pretty cool to see her out there and just to see what that means for the program. So she's a really special talent. I think it's going to be fun seeing her, not just as a freshman, but what she does in her time here. And then a cool story that's developing here in our staff is Tatum Clopton, who has missed 2 years due to a shoulder injury. She's a transfer from Oklahoma State, but really has come on strong. And it's just so cool to see her get back and see the things that she's doing. Like, if this thing works out, it's going to be one of the greatest stories we'll ever get to tell. But she's had a really strong fall. I'm excited about what's in front of her, too.
So how have those roles kind of been defined? I mean, obviously, Brezon, like you said, she can go up against anybody in the country. Lord knows we've seen it. She's a warrior. She can go for as many innings as possible. But how have you seen the staff kind of crystallize in terms of who's going to be what during the season?
Yeah, I don't know that we know that yet. And I think they're going to need to lean on each other. You know, we have 2 fifth-year seniors with Emily Casanova and Vallejo that both, I think, will see some time and are very different looks. And then Jaden and Tatum, really different looks, too. I think we'll use a combination of all of them. And then, you know, as long as Sydney stays on her feet, we're going to be in good shape a lot of days.
What does something, you know, somebody like Vallejo, who is a fifth-year senior, like you said, but is coming from another program, what does that kind of bring to the staff and to the program as a whole?
Yeah, she's a really accomplished pitcher. I mean, the Southland Pitcher of the Year, she, you know, has been in a regional, in a regional final. She's been in a lot of big moments. So she's already had the ball in a lot of these big moments. So she understands what it takes. And she's a gamer, man. You wouldn't maybe see it every day in practice, but you put her out there on the mound and she looks like a shot out of a cannon. You know, she's just a gamer. So I'm excited to see what a season with her looks like. And I think she's excited to be here too. It means a lot for her to be in purple and gold. You know, she's got family here in Baton Rouge, and I think it means a lot to her.
Beth Tarina, the head coach of LSU, is our guest. Coach, we've talked about Jaden Huebner. We have not touched on many of the other freshmen. So who of the newcomers should we be on the lookout this year for?
Yeah, I think they're a fun group. I think they have a way to go, but they're so athletic. Like I said, I think the theme of our team this year is kind of the speed combo with power. Like, I think, you know, even if we're having an off day, we can run so well. Like, you have Destiny Harris, Samaya Jones, like those guys can swing for some power, but yet If you put them on the clock, they're getting to first base in some pretty elite times. There's some really cool things that this group can do. So I'm excited to see, you know, Jada Phillips will back up Macy at catcher. Zoe Calvez is lightning fast. There's a really strong group of freshmen that I think are going to be contributors down the road.
And you have that mix coming in this year of both freshmen and transfer players. In this era of college softball, how do you balance recruiting true freshmen from high school and then hitting that transfer portal?
Well, we're always a fan of the four-year player here. We like developing players. I think it's really important to the program, the style of play that I run as a head coach. You know, I think development is key. So, of course, we love our four-year players. But when you get to watch an Avery Hodge or Jayla Laster running out there, it's hard to not love the transfers as well. I mean, what a cool moment to see just Avery Hodge smiling on a softball field and you know, doing the things she can do. Like, it's just so cool. And I feel so lucky to have a player like her as part of our program. So I think we're balancing it all. 9 newcomers. So it's going to be a lot of new faces on our field this year. And then even some of the people that will be in starting roles maybe you didn't see on a day-to-day basis last year, like a Tori Edwards or Michaela Walker, Jaden Leno, Sierra Daniel. Some of these guys were with us last year but didn't get a ton of at-bats, and they're going to have some huge opportunities this year. You know, and then cool to have the veterans, Mackenzie Rudity, who seems to fly under the radar but is an all-SEC player, Macy, Danica, like some strong leadership that I think will lead this new group.
And Mackenzie Rudity, another on the all-name team as well. So just adding to that list too. LSU head coach Beth Tarina is here for 2024 Softball Media Days. And now, Coach, we get to dive into the big picture portion of the show where we talk about some of the big stories around college athletics and around softball. And it is no secret that this has been kind of a complicated time in college athletics with us waiting on legislation and rule changes and everything else going on. So let's say there was a special election and you, Beth Tarina, were voted president of the NCAA. What are you doing on day one?
Oh, man, well, I would have given us a little more time, I think. Instead of like making some of these things happen immediately, effective immediately, I would have given us a little more time to just work through some of the things and, you know, get ourselves right in the space that they need us to be. So I think it would have just maybe given us, like with COVID, it was nice to have a year, like they gave you kind of the grace period. Like, well, you got a year to figure out all the things, you know? So I think maybe a little more time, but I guess they still could grant us that. I mean, I think there's just so many unknowns. And I'll tell you the one thing is I would decline the president of the NCAA. I would not want that job. You couldn't pay me enough money. I will be at my kids' gym meets and swim meets and softball games, and somebody else could be the president of the NCAA.
That seems to be a popular answer as well. It's like, no, thank you. We do not want that job. Coach, we've seen with the expansion in the SEC this year, we've seen the new the conference schedule model and how it's being put out there. We understand math-wise why it has to stay at the 8 conference series. But there are no protected rivalries. It's total random. So sometimes you'll go year two without playing big rivals. Would you like to see in the future a protective rivalry put in, or are you okay with the way the schedule is now?
I think I'm okay with the way the schedule is. I think that I hope that the committee and the people making decisions on us will base our positions at the end of the year based on our conference strength of schedule. I think the conference strength of schedule is huge, and it's something that you can't control. I do think like the people with the stronger strength of schedule in the SEC don't very often win the SEC. It really is all about who you have to play. I think if you would list out the last few years' conference strength of schedule, it makes a huge difference in the season and the conference season that teams have. So I hope that will get some weight. Because I think it is a big factor. But I'm okay with what they've done. I think it's tough. Like, there seems to be no right answer. And you know, you're going to have a ball game every time you take the field. When I, you know, look at what's in front of us, I'm like, I don't know how it could have gotten tougher, but it really just did. But I think everybody's excited to see what it's all about. I know there's like a huge buzz about the additions and, you know, getting to play the schedule that we have in front of us.
I know a few years ago, Alabama LSU is one of the big rivalries in the conference. I know a couple of years ago when LSU was not on Alabama's schedule, you guys came to Tuscaloosa for the Crimson Classic, I think it was. What would you like to see maybe some teams do more of that if you're not on the regular season schedule, maybe play a non-conference midweek with one of your big rivals?
I think that that's probably going to have to happen in some spaces. Some of these rivalries just have to take place, right? Like, we need them. But I know that it's not a great idea for the conference, because the conference gets a loss that day that they don't need in our RPI. So I know, like, these games aren't the best decisions for the strength of schedule for the conference, but it feels really good. And like, they are the right things to do for college softball, right? Like, we all want to see Texas A&M, don't we? Like, we have to see it. We have to see Auburn and Alabama play. Like, we have to see these things happen. So I think we have to find ways to make it happen. I agree with you.
So we've also heard Nick Saban, who obviously has connections both Alabama and LSU, but we've heard Nick Saban discuss the differences between being a transformational coach and being a transactional coach. What are your thoughts on that, and how do you balance being transformational instead of transactional in a league like the SEC, where winning does matter a whole lot?
Well, like I told you before, I think I am into development. I do love our four-year players. Of course, we're going to still try to get the best transfers we can and people that can, you know, come here and make a difference right away. But I think in the past, we've really like tried to use the portal to fill a void, to fill a hole, something that has, you know, happened that was unplanned. And then we really have tried to like uphold the standard and develop our players and, you know, teach them how we do business. Like, our, I'm sitting in the office with our Tigers traits on the wall here, the Tigers for life. It's a huge part of who we are. I think it's ingrained and rooted in everything we do. So I hope when the players leave our program, they would say that they are better than when they walked in the door. And I hope when they leave it, they'll say they're going to live Tigers for life. I feel confident that they will. But that's how we do business here every day, is just trying to grow awesome women that are going to be Tigers for life.
All right, Coach, it is time for the fun questions.
Okay,
this
I should have thought of my food answers. Why? I mean, I'm in year one of this. I know I need these things ahead of time.
No specific food questions. However, if people have already listened to the Larissa Anderson interview, she brought a list. Right. So if you have any recommendations, please feel free to throw them in. But the first question is about music. Okay. If you could have any singer or band, dead or alive, perform the national anthem at an LSU softball game, who are you picking?
Okay, I'm like a odd country music fan, Texas country. I'd pick somebody like a Wade Bowen or like Randy Rogers, like a, you know, like a Texas country type of a person. So I could go with like the standard Taylor Swift, and my children would be so happy with me. Ariana Grande, we just watched Wicked. That's it. That's who I'll pick. I'll pick her. Belinda, we're ready for her to sing the national anthem.
Okay, LSU holding space for, yes, yeah, Ariana Grande.
How far was that from Texas country to Ariana Grande? Like, that has to be the biggest range of any answer.
This is the most eclectic list I've written down.
That is the most eclectic. That's who we are here in Baton Rouge.
You could say that Ariana Grande would be popular.
Oh,
good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put down the headset. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
I love that.
Do you have any personal pregame traditions or rituals you have to go through?
Oh boy. How much time do we have in this interview? Because it's a long, long, long list of things. So this is going to be like a big issue this year, because, you know, I have pretty much a whole new staff, right?
Yeah.
You know, Howard retiring and Lindsay at NC State. So I still have Sandra with me. So she's on team superstition, but I've got to get these other people on board. Like, I got to get Taylor Pleasance into the superstition, and Sierra Briggs. Sierra Briggs is all superstition. So things like you can't take your jacket off during the game or add one. So if it's going to get cold, you have to like already have a jacket on, because you can't change your outfit if things are going well. So there's a lot of things in place that I've got to like get this new staff on board with all of our superstitions. You know, like if we win, you eat the same breakfast the next day, like you don't switch it up. So if I see something on somebody's plate that they didn't have the day before, it's a problem. So I've got to really, you know, get these new young people on board here with me.
So once you've got, I'm now intrigued by this, the layers are the layers, that's it? Like, if it gets hotter as the day goes on, you're stuck?
You're in it, unless you're losing. If you're losing, all bets are off, do whatever you want, we don't care. But no, if you're winning the game, Right. Then yes, you have to like leave your jacket on, even if it's like becomes hot. If it rains, you're out of luck, like you're wearing what you're wearing, you know, like respect the spot of the game that you're in. Yes.
So you have to be checking the weather constantly before you get dressed. Just to make sure you've got it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And before the game, we're always like, should we start with a jacket? Is it going to be jacket worthy or not jacket worthy? What do we do? It's like a big question before the game, but we can't change. Not going to change. So you don't add a jacket or take one off.
Does this like move over like games that you're not coaching in? Like if you're watching an LSU football game on TV and LSU scores while someone's in the bathroom, do they have to stay in the bathroom the rest of the game?
No, but that's a good idea. Well, your seating matters, like where you sit. Like sometimes if somebody's like not on the fence or like not on the couch, you know what I mean? Like get back to your spot. Let's go. Come on. We've got to get there. I know Howard last year, like we hit a home run, I think, and he was in the bathroom. He like stayed in the bathroom for the next three innings when we were on offense, I feel like. So I can tell these stories now that he's gone. I can just all, right. all the Howard stories we want. So, but yes, we have a lot of superstition. We probably have some issues that should be addressed someday in our dugout, but we have a great time.
I'm going to tell you a story before we let you go, because we were in Columbia, South Carolina, watching LSU Arkansas. And I kid you not, I don't know what phenomenon this was. I went to the bathroom three times throughout this meal. It was just me, Tom, and a couple other support staff. And each time I came back, LSU had hit a home run. So the running joke has been, anytime I go to the bathroom, LSU is probably scoring somewhere.
Well, I'm going to need you to just be in a bathroom for all of our games, if possible. Do you need me to like fix up a bathroom nicely, put a little fridge in there or something? We could do that, you know, but I'm going to need you to stay in there.
Keontae's going to just lock me in when I walk in the bathroom.
I love this idea. Wow. This is perfect.
Since we are coming to Baton Rouge this year, has there been any restaurants that have opened in the last couple of years that we definitely need to check out?
I don't know if we mentioned Building 5 last time, but it is a great one. It is so good. I love this one. It's under the overpass on Perkins Road. It's really, really good. Definitely worth checking out. One of my favorites in town. So we've got some cool things around campus now too, like right off campus. So there's plenty of stuff right around the field that you can check out.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Noted.
Put it down.
All set. Beth Tarina joins us here for 2024 Softball Media Days. Coach, it is always good to see you. You're a delight. Thank you so much for hopping on with us, and we will see you in a few months.
Thank you, guys. Always a fun time chatting with you guys. Always love it. Thanks for what you do for our sport. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you to Beth Tarina. I just want to say one thing, and I said this at the beginning of the show. I really like Beth Tarina. I think it's the best interview we've had with her, and I really enjoyed it. I really love the insights that she gave, and I felt kind of a, I don't know what it was, but every year when we put together our preseason SEC rankings and we start talking, I mention that sometimes some of these interviews change my opinions. I feel a lot better about LSU than maybe I did coming in after that conversation.
I agree with you. I think that, like I've said, I think she is very excited and genuinely like optimistic about how the season is going to go, the way that she was talking about, especially the newcomers coming in. I don't know if it's going to be the toughest. I think it's going to be the toughest ask that we've had so far to do a preseason ranking of these teams.
Yeah,
because a team like,
we're going to have both of us are going to pick a really good team that we've talked highly of in media days in like ninth.
Right. And you could put a team ninth and they could make the Women's College World Series
easily.
And LSU might be one of those teams where, we're going to talk about their schedule that, may finish middle of the pack in the conference. And this might be the year that they come through Super Regionals and make it to the Women's College World Series.
Yeah. Should we look at the schedule?
Schedule.
All right. So if the Swoon is back, this is not the schedule for it.
No. Avoid the Swoon.
Bye week, Kentucky at Georgia, South Carolina. Okay.
No, yeah.
That's fairly doable. Georgia's tough, but Kentucky, South Carolina at home. Alabama at home. Okay. Alabama's not been great outside of 2019 in Baton Rouge. So you got to be feeling, all right, sure. We'll see. At A&M, at Texas, Florida, at Arkansas.
Yeesh.
So you close on the road a lot. Also, the timing is not great because the Alabama series is kind of like exactly when the Swoon would normally happen. So is that going to be, are we going to know? Are we the bellwether?
It's possible. I just know with those last four, they need to take advantage of the first four.
For sure.
Or maybe even, the first two conference series
the first two home conference series are the ones they really have to take advantage of.
Almost must sweeps?
Yeah.
Which is asking a lot in the SEC?
Right. But again, as we're looking, we have the bottom three or four is going to be pretty uniform. I would be shocked if we have somebody really surprising down there. If you get them, and especially if you get them at home, you have to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So we I think we'll know a lot about where LSU's ceiling is before that Alabama series even starts, because man, those last four are going to be really difficult for them to make any hay in.
Well, and keep in mind, right? I mean, what was the issue with LSU last year in the eyes of the committee? An LSU team that I felt good about as a top eight seed. The committee did not like they're about 500 in the back half of the season.
Right.
Well, I mean, if we're trying to avoid that, this last four in conference play is not the ideal way to do it.
No.
And they avoid OU, which is great. They get Florida at home, which is good. What a fun Saturday, Sunday, Monday that'll be.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But to have that right after playing Texas, and then, oh, by the way, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then get ready to go to Arkansas
on Tuesday.
In May?
Yeah, on Thursday. I mean.
Oh, boy.
And Arkansas in May, it could be 90 degrees. It could be 40.
I mean.
I've seen both.
We really don't know.
Tusk might be around. You never know.
We can predict, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Whew. I think Betrina is very excited and is very confident in her team, which makes me more confident in them. I think they still have a chance to be an enigma as well. I think that LSU kind of has the widest gap between what their ceiling and their floor can be.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you think LSU hosts a regional this year?
It matters so much what everybody else does.
Right.
Not just in the conference, but everyone everywhere else
I know,
in
but
the country.
I'll point out, they do go to the Judy Garmin. They do go to Louisiana for the home and away. A lot of their big non-conference games are at home.
Right.
So there's not a ton of opportunity for big road wins out of conference. And then we just talked about the road slate. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
At Georgia, at A&M, at Texas, at Arkansas, are they even going to have the chance to really put together a profile that the committee might deem worthy of a top 16 or top 8.
But if they get a couple wins out there, and a couple wins in those road conference series toward the end, for sure. If I had to pick right now, I would say no.
Mm.
But
doesn't feel right, does it?
No.
Yeah.
It's like we talked about, like when we pick whoever I end up writing down as the number 8 and 9 teams in the SEC, I will just feel terrible about it.
We are openly admitting right now,
yeah,
whoever we put there, 7, 8, 9, they're also capable of winning the conference.
Right. We're going to have a national championship contender finishing middle of the pack in this conference. That's at crazy. Least one.
Yeah.
If not multiple. I'm very confused on who it's going to be.
Well,
I'm sure that's why you listen for our expert opinion.
Do you want to clear your head while we go to break?
Okay.
Okay, fine. When we come back, we'll wrap up day 5. Day's over. We'll get you ready for the finale, the grand finale.
Since we're talking Louisiana, I thought maybe you might have some libations for a clearing of the head.
Well, I do. Have you seen my kitchen? Can we put away things, please, people? At others, but also kind of at me. I'll get there eventually.
Okay.
We'll dive into it next. Not really. Here on the Out of Box Podcast.
But people, come to the podcast for it.
Day 5. Thank you to Allison Habits just for existing,
just the best.
I mean, she came on the pod. I appreciate it.
You're right.
Thank you to Beth Tarina. Great time. Great day. Just a great day.
Really good. The two very enjoyable interviews. I think they have a lot of insight and two teams that are going to be very interesting to follow here this season.
How do you think this season series goes? Is it a split? We've seen the reverse split at times in recent history.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if I had to pick it, I'd pick a split right now too. But what I think it could do the reverse again, where LSU goes to Lafayette and gets the win, and Louisiana goes to Baton Rouge and gets the win.
Well,
there'll be good food wherever they go.
It's true. But now we look ahead to a series where they can't split because they're only going to play 3 games.
They're gonna be pretty big.
Did y'all hear that in April Alabama hosts Oklahoma? I don't know if we mentioned it.
I don't know if that's come up at any point.
Well, those two schools are a part of day six. And Tom, this is gonna be like the biggest blockbuster day of media days we've ever had.
It's quite a blowout.
Yeah. Patrick Murphy, Patty Gasso. Know each other a long time. Coached against each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm. A few moments have been had.
Mm-hmm. Good things on both sides.
Yeah, going both ways.
Yes. I mean, it be like that sometimes. And now we get them both on this pod.
Very excited.
Yeah, that's day six. Oh, and also we'll have the fall ball special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll give you the stats. I know all of you wanted, yes. We'll let you know how the kids did in fall ball.
Sorry the games weren't on TV.
My bad. Also, you probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. And we'll also answer your questions. Mailbag, send us your thoughts. Send us whatever you want. And last thing, the way too early, no actual order, SEC preseason top five for both of us. So all this talk about who's going to go where, we just say five teams we would put in the top five right now.
I can't wait till like somebody's not on that list.
I've listened to some of the past ones. They've gone poorly, but we're going to keep doing it.
Great.
Because that's how we do things here.
Like, people come for the podcast for our predictions that go horribly awry.
Honestly, in some cases, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we say it with such confidence.
Sure. That's how you win friends and influence people. Just say things with confidence.
Of course. Have you? It's 2024, Tom.
Yeah.
We got to just go. You're either in or you're out.
You don't need a pass. Just walk like you know where you're going.
That's exactly right. That's how do you think we get Patrick Murphy's pregame interview in OKC? We do not have credentials that led us back to the practice field.
Shh.
I'm sorry.
We do have those credentials.
I mean, totally. Tier one.
Always.
Yeah. How can the people find you on Twitter or X, Tom?
I'm hiding from the people of Oklahoma City. T Canterbury RTR on the X, keeping track of every random basketball game I'm keeping stats for.
How are the Mississippi College for Women men doing?
They've lost the one game I've done for them so far, but I'm going back to Columbus soon.
Okay.
So that's going to be fun.
We'll enjoy that.
Thank you.
I hope the men do well.
At the W.
Yes, of course. Follow me at Gray_Robertson, or don't, whatever. But we certainly appreciate what all of you say on Twitter. And follow the show at @OutOfTheBox_Pod.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Hit up the show. We're near 3,000 followers.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get it there. Like, subscribe, leave a review, all that fun stuff.
Might have a t-shirt or sticker for somebody that when we get to the 3,000.
I do still have some farcical shirts.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing about renting out your home. You find things that you didn't know were there.
Yes.
And the box is still full.
Wow. Okay.
We're just out of XLs. So sorry. But
sorry. It was mostly me.
Yeah. Well, and me. It's not like I'm a tiny over here.
You're a petite.
No, I'm large. Okay. We should finish. That's probably day five. Right. Yeah. Softball media days. One episode left. It'll drop on dun, dun, dun. Friday the 13th. Perhaps fitting.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah. We'll have Patty Gasso and Patrick Murphy, the head coaches of Oklahoma and Alabama, plus a deep dive into all the fall ball shenanigans in Tuscaloosa, Tom.
There were some names that came out that maybe you're not thinking are going to be some of those fall ball names.
Look, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Will I give you a lineup? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe we'll ask Patrick Murphy too.
Will it be anywhere close to what it's going to be the second weekend in February?
Of course not. We've done this long enough to know how this goes.
Could do it that day and we'll not be correct.
Any suggestion is like, this is brilliant. It's wrong, but it's brilliant.
Put that in the old Rolodex. Maybe we'll come up with that later.
Maybe we'll come to it in Supers. I remember last year, week three, we were like, the best version of Alabama's offense is Kristen White at leadoff. She really didn't lead off until like the last week of the season, if that.
Right.
And then in the postseason.
Yeah.
That's the way that goes. It all worked out. We're right eventually. That's my motto. For my partner, Tom Canterbury, I'm Gray Robertson.
Even when we're wrong, we're right at some point.
It's true. We'll see you next time on 2024 Softball Media Days on the Out of the Box Podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.